Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hey, y'all. Are you an avid listener to My Doula Micah? And you want to be more involved? You want to support? You want to be a subscriber? You want to get ad-free podcasts? You want to see some video content or never-before-seen footage, extra additional content, maybe even some merchandise at a discounted price, and you want to benefit from that, then go to patreon.com/mydoulamicah and jump in to the fun.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Micah Burgess with Game Day Birds Not Balls. Thank you for joining me today. So I'm going to continue on my trend here of interviewing past clients, and I have a repeat client with me today. I'm super excited that Sam has joined me in the studio. Tell everybody hey and a little bit about yourself, girl.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sam Erger. I am currently the head volleyball coach at SMU in Dallas.
You go, girl.
Yes. Spent a significant amount of time as the associate head at Baylor University, mm-hmm. which had me in Waco. Mm-hmm. That's where I birthed my three babies.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
How Micah and I met, kind of had us in the same area. Working mom
yep.
really just defines me.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe at the extreme end of that.
Yeah.
With an extreme amount of help.
Good.
But I have three young kiddos, 5, 2.5, going on 22 and a half.
Yeah, she is.
She's a nut. And then I have an 11-month-old Micah.
Yeah. I love that. I'm so glad that you are here, and I'm very proud of you for all the hard work that you've done, and I'm really excited. So let's jump into mm-hmm. the birth stories, but we will start with Malachi, mm-hmm. and you can start at the very beginning of how we met yeah. and all that stuff, and then we'll just take it from there.
Yeah. Okay. So we met, I think I reached out to you.
Yeah.
And, via one of your many channels. And I was just like, hey, looking for, I'm pregnant.
Right.
And looking to possibly birth naturally. Mm-hmm. That was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to meet, I am the kind of person that says, hey, if I want to do something, I am like all 100, all in
mm-hmm.
or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All or nothing kind of gal.
Really, there is no middle ground. And so I knew it was going to be a challenge, and I knew I was going to need help. Mm-hmm. So we met at Panera, and I was kind of sharing this with you beforehand. I was not confident, and I'm a confident person. I mean, I'm a coach.
Yep.
In my arena, I'm confident, yep. but I hadn't had a baby.
I haven't done this before.
Not my arena. So my biggest concern was I wanted to nurse. I wanted to breastfeed. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-mm. You may or may not remember this. But I was concerned I might not be able to because I had had, you may not know this. I definitely shared it with you at the time.
But, right, right.
I had had breast reduction surgery in college.
Oh, gotcha.
I was an athlete.
Gotcha.
And I was very uncomfortable, and I'd had this surgery.
Yeah.
And
I do remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so that was probably my biggest driving piece was that I'm not sure, and they had told me that when I had the surgery, but I was like, so uncomfortable, and I'm 10 years from having kids. Like,
yeah,
I need this. So, but then of course I'm pregnant and I'm like, I kind of do want a nurse. It's healthier for the baby.
Right.
You know, anyways, so I wasn't even sure if it, and they had, my surgeon had told me that too. Like,
yeah,
we don't know.
Right.
We hope, but we don't know. So then I was thinking, I'm going to do every single thing I can to hopefully have that outcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in my own research, it was like, hey, all natural childbirth leads to better nursing outcomes and whatnot.
It's so interesting when you start looking into one aspect of a natural route and as it involves your pregnancy and your childbirth experience and postpartum, a whole bunch of stuff is going to come up in terms of how many different options and things there are that are considered a natural route from start to finish. So a lot of people start off in this one place and then it just opens all these doors in your research.
No, yeah, totally. And so that's exactly right. And it's all connected too. Yeah. So, you know, there's a million ways you can go with it, but I was not confident. I met with you. I kind of shared with you like, hey, this is what I want to do, but I'm not necessarily feeling confident about this at all.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to need help. I really want someone in the room that when things go whatever direction they may go.
Right.
Someone that's like been there, done that. I've seen this. This is normal. Or, hey, this is not normal.
Yep.
Or whatever, you know. So that was my hope. And, you know, immediately called my husband afterwards, like, okay, like I don't care how much, like Micah's going to be in the room. Like, this is how it's going to go, and kind of went through your process. So, I think we took a class at your home and, a few, maybe did some things at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there, there was a lot of things we did. So I remember my husband's like, what are we doing here? So one of them was like the perennial massage and stretching. So James, forgive me, but
we'll talk at home later, honey.
So he, you know, we did it all.
Yeah.
We really, my mindset was very grounded going into it. Like, not confident, but I'm going to do everything.
Right.
And I didn't have any kids at the time, so I was working out every day. There was just a lot going into, I think a lot of women do this with their first birth. Like, you really prepare.
Yep, totally.
So, you know, it's April, my due date was April 29th. I think it was April, no, my due date was April, was May 1.
Okay.
But he was born April 29th. So night of April 28th, I had insomnia. And so I was up most nights, just uncomfortable. And my water breaks. And I'm on my couch and I roll. I remember I really liked that couch. So I rolled off the couch to try to get the water to break onto the floor.
Right.
And I start yelling for James. And you had really prepped us well. So we knew not to like go crazy.
Right.
And like rush to the hospital.
Right,
like,
right,
you
right.
know, you had prepped us. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a bath and I'm going to go back to bed.
Yep.
I think we texted you and let you know, but it was, you know, we're not going to freak out. We're going to sit at home. We're going to let. So we wake up the next morning. I think you and I were in contact. And then it was like, okay, go for a walk.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. It's a clear memory in my head before my first birth of like my husband and I, you should tell all your clients to do this. My husband and I going on a walk while I think, which I later found out I wasn't, but, you know, kind of in early labor. Forgive me if I get the terms wrong.
You're
but
good.
Yeah, so we're walking, and that's just a really special moment that seared into my mind of, like, before we were on the cusp of our lives totally changing.
Yep.
And we're just walking around the neighborhood. People are going to work.
Some of your last moments together by yourself.
Totally. People are, like, doing their thing, going to work, you know, doing the lawn, and we're just walking around, like, life's about to change.
Yeah.
Baby's about to come. So cool. Really cool that you.
I love that.
Yeah. So then I'm, like, at home, and the things weren't progressing, I guess. I wasn't really in pain. I mean, I was mildly uncomfortable, but I wasn't really in pain. Things were going okay. So the hospital knew that my water had broken.
Right.
And so Carrie Herman, she was probably in contact with you, not like, you know, just checking in on us.
Right.
And I hadn't come in.
Yeah.
And they're thinking like, hey, surely she's, I don't know, probably thinking I would come in by now. But finally they called me. They're like, hey, you have like a clock that you have to have this baby by. So you probably need to come in by now. I think it was like 12 hours later. It was a long time.
Yeah.
My water broke at like 2 a.m. And so I go in. Well, we got Wendy's before we went. Another tip from you. We got food. And we had packed snacks and whatnot, too. But we got Wendy's on the way in. And we get in. And they check me. And I'm like, I don't know.
Not very far along.
No. And so I was pretty discouraged to start. Because I'm like, dude, I broke at like 2 in the morning. I thought I might even have a baby by now.
Yeah.
I think it was at like a 2.
Yeah.
So they put me on Pitocin. They had called it premature rupture of membranes and Pitocin to get things going. You show up. I mean, you are doing lunges and all this stuff in the hall. But I was very mentally at this point. I talked earlier about having lack of confidence going in. But at this point, I was confident.
I
was ready to do the mission.
Yep.
I was like, tell me what to do.
Yep.
I was going to follow you through a brick wall.
I remember you being in really good spirits. Now, you may have been disappointed when you first got there. Oh, my gosh, I'm only a 2. But I'm sure we had a conversation. And FYI for you listeners, the movies lie. I'm so sorry, y'all. If you're just doing your life and all of a sudden your water breaks out of thin air and you haven't been already contracting, those are some of my longest birth experiences with my clients. It's like... that, like you said, oh, this is premature. Like, ooh, was your body really ready? But your body wasn't doing anything yet. And so in the movies, it shows the woman's water breaking on the sidewalk and they bet she's about to deliver.
Yeah, they like go hectic and rush.
So that only happens if you've pretty much already been in labor or you're already having contractions. And then when that water breaks, yes, uber intense, very intense, but not if nothing has been happening.
Yes. So that was an example of like, it was great to have Micah around in that I had no idea what was really going on.
Right.
But you were kind of like, okay, they all kind of assessed premature rupture membranes. You're like, great, we're going to put you on Pitocin just a little bit.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to go. So disappointed at first to be only at a 2, but then it was like, oh, this is normal. It's fine.
Yep. Let's go.
Whatever.
Let's
so
get
here,
to work.
Here's the, so here's the game plan, really.
And that helped you because of your personality. Give me something to do, dang it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Don't make me sit around. So we did it all.
Yeah, I needed a game plan for sure.
Yeah.
I needed to be able to look ahead and go, okay, this is the task at hand. So we were doing lunges in the hallway. We were doing, and
that, there's music.
Yes, there was so much. And that really did help things progress. I remember at one point you had me doing stuff and then there was like a bar. And then you're like, okay, turn to the bar when a contraction comes and do a squat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been doing this for a while. And at one point, it really got real. And I think one of the nurses was like, hey, she
looks different.
That's a more animalistic sound.
Yeah, that's not as controlled as it was before.
Yeah. So anyways, my least favorite part about the whole experience, and everybody is different because I have friends that are like, oh, it's no big deal. But I didn't enjoy getting checked.
Oh yeah, no. So, nobody really enjoys that. You're just being verbal about the fact that you don't enjoy it.
Yeah,
but for some women it's excruciating.
I'm like, man, I could live without that for, you know.
Yep.
Robin Cohagen is the owner, manager, head designer of Havencraft Waco. You might recognize her from episode 2 of my podcast. She was my very first guest, and she has furnished more vacation homes than anyone in Waco with her varying design styles. What you may not know is that she takes on personal clients in her spare time. This girl is so busy, but right now, just for my listeners, she's willing to open up 2 client spots for a 1-room design. This is a $300 design package that includes an in-home design consultation, a design plan with spreadsheets and links, and even her own personal shopping time for you to reimagine or overhaul 1 room in your house. She is a budget queen, you guys, and pretty much always comes under budget for her clients, whether it's remodeling or redecorating. Robin's got a wait list, but she's offering to put you on the fast track for a 1-room design package. So do you have a daughter needing to transition up to an older style, a living room you're absolutely bored of, a dining room that doesn't feel inviting, a master bedroom that's not inspiring? Then call Robin with Havencraft Waco today. Hey, y'all. I want you to look up Bite Me Treat. These are cake pops, cake bites, hot cocoa bombs, and other chocolate-dipped treats, making any day that much sweeter. follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Looking for an elective ultrasound studio? Look no further. Tiny Hearts 4D imagery and luxury photography has got you covered. Mention my podcast for a 15% discount for any scan. And one of the most popular offers is an unlimited package where Heather Rust allows you to come into the studio anytime you want, starting at 6 weeks and up, to get that scan of your baby. She offers 4D high definition, updated realistic skin tone for those live videos that you want for your baby. You can also check out Tiny Hearts Boutique in Saronia's.
So that was, as I was getting checked, I was progressing, but still not super, it was slow rolling.
It was.
And I think you had some, what would you call them? The girls helping you, but that they weren't.
An apprentice.
So you had some, okay, one of them, an apprentice was there.
Yes.
So she's massaging my back. You, I mean, my team was amazing. You need to have a birthing team. If you want to go all natural, you need to have a team,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
That's how women did it in the old days.
Yep.
Because you had me read Ina Mays. I remember when they finally checked me and I hit, I was at a 9 or whatever. The number that's like you can, it's almost go time.
Yep.
I felt like I had won the frickin' lottery. Yes. My absolute joy and elation at being told,
you're enough.
I had gotten to this number that now it's time.
It's the magic number. Yep.
Yeah. So, because I think at one point when they checked me and I wasn't there after quite a bit of what felt like work, I was discouraged again.
Of course.
I think you sent me in to like take a shower at one point. I mean, this was a freaking marathon, my first birth.
Yep.
You sent me to take a shower. My husband James had had multiple cups of coffee. He was starting to struggle. You were keeping him awake and alive. They had upped my Pitocin a few times. One time they upped it so high that my body started shaking. And you told them, I remember this. You were like, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you need a freaking doula, because it was like, I just was so glad you were there. And then at one point, what really helped, I'm kind of moving backwards here, but you put me on the toilet, which birthing women sit on the freaking toilet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way.
It is the way.
You just, it's like everything feels, your body's used to a release.
That's right.
So I remember standing up and there was like bloody show. Mm-hmm. And this is my first birth, so I don't know what the heck is going on.
Right, right.
And so I kind of showed you and I was hoping it was something good.
Does this mean anything good?
Yes. So you were like, I could tell that you mentally were like starting to, like previously, you had been like cool to cucumber. Like, almost like a parent that's like, we're not there yet.
It's all right. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Like driving and it's like, listen, stop asking. We're not there. In a good way. In a good way. But I could tell that you were very much like, hey, I know what's going on and I know you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happened, I could tell that you were like, things are getting close. So when they told me I was at a 9 after this long, I mean, my first birth, it was a long time.
Yep. Yep.
And I felt like I won the lottery.
That's great.
I was so happy. I think I cried.
I probably did.
I think I cried because I was in pain.
Yeah.
The pain was very manageable because I was able to move around, but I was ready. So then I think Carrie got called at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're pushing and
So before we get to the pushing, I don't know what you remember, but I'm pretty sure you were either on your way into transition or were already in transition, but it was already intense. And Malachi wasn't lined up real great.
No.
He was turned funny. And, you know, if you've been listening to my podcast at all, then y'all already know what I'm about to say. Position is everything.
Mm-hmm.
That baby needs to be lined up. And if they're not, it's okay. But it just means there's more work. It is a longer birth. It does hurt a little bit more because babies trying to come out in a way they're not really designed to come out. You can give birth that way, but it is tough. And so one of the things that happened to Sam is that Malachi could not really descend and come down. And you need that baby to come down because their head is what helps you finish dilating. And if that baby can't descend, you're kind of stuck and just hanging out for a little while. And your body is just working overtime to get it to happen. So we had to put Sam in the washer's position. Do you remember this?
Was that when I was on the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do remember this. So, because it was, listen, mamas, you can do it. This is real.
Yep.
I think you probably could have heard me screaming from like two rooms away.
Oh, it was torture. I'm sorry. It was absolutely torture.
So again, unmedicated, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Unmedicated. Yep. So, I had some intravenous things at one point. We kind of skipped over this, but there was a point when this is again why like Micah's the rock star here, because
no, girl,
at one
are.
Point you kind of recognized that I was struggling, mm-hmm. and I needed rest, and I wasn't mm-hmm. at a 9 yet. And so they gave me something to help me sleep a little bit.
Yeah.
You had recommended it.
Some analgesic meds. They go right through your IV. They work mm-hmm. immediately, which an epidural is not going to do that. You got to wait. But they work immediately. You're able to rest for about 45 minutes and then it completely leaves your system. So that means you get to, once it's out of your system, you can get back up. You can walk mm-hmm. around. Once you have an epidural, you're in the bed. You're
right.
done. But not with the meds. And so sometimes that's a quick fix to push pause, rest,
right,
gather our thoughts.
Because you recognized that I was fatigued,
mm-hmm.
would be the word to say it. And so so they put me in this position. And I remember, again, yes, this is why you need a team. Because, like, how am I supposed to know any of this?
You don't know any of it.
Right. So, and you're just, like, outside your mind.
Oh, you totally.
I mean, you could be, like, I've described it like this. You could be naked mm-hmm. in a room. Well, you are naked.
Right.
But you could be naked in a room full of your peers.
And you wouldn't care.
While you're in transition. And you would not care.
You would not care. You're right. You're so right.
So... So they were, you know, finagling. I'm on my back, but they were, and it's a elevated bed. So you're on your back, mm-hmm. but you know, gravity is going to help.
Yeah.
But they're tilting me, Carrie and Micah, really. My husband's kind of at my head helping. I think my birth photographer was probably jumping in and helping at some point because she's amazing. And they were moving me around, like trying to get me in this position.
Yeah.
And it was obviously working because
mm-hmm.
the twist turns, whatever they had me do.
Yeah.
When he got, I could literally feel him lining up in there and it was,
yep.
sorry, moms.
Yep.
It was extremely painful.
Very.
But almost to a point of, I've never broken a bone or anything like that, but I was like outside
I
feel like my body like shut it off.
So I've been to over 300 births and you and maybe one other person are the only people that have ever suggested this position. That's how terrible it is, you guys. I'm not into torture. I'm just not. But it is the last resort kind of move that you would make in order to get baby to do what we want baby to do position wise. So you can push a baby out and not have a C-section. So
I didn't know that.
Right. So I never used this position ever because it is so terrible. But I will be the bad guy for a few minutes, for a few contractions so that you can have your baby. And so it's a very awkward position. There's no way I'm even really going to be able to explain it well. You'll have to look it up if you want to see it, the Walters position. But basically, the hardest part about it is that we've propped your booty up so high with
yes.
pillows and stuff like that. And your legs are extended down off the bed, essentially. So we kind of folded you in half backwards, kind of.
I remember.
It's awful. And we did maybe three contractions. But you would have thought
it was
like
it was
we had been doing it for hours.
The good thing is, though, and again, why you... I can't stress enough. Like, if you don't have a team and you're just trying to go this alone or maybe with people that haven't done natural childbirth,
right?
You were even in my extreme pain, like imagine being in pain and you're obviously very short tempered and very, you know, you have a very like no tolerance at this point.
Right.
So
you're done.
Few people can talk into what's going on
because mm-hmm.
You don't want to hear it.
Uh-uh.
And you have no patience. Zero. It's gone. You're in complete transition. You have no patience. You're just like, get the baby out. So you were able to at least talk me through what's going on, even in my pain, even through my screaming, probably curse words. I'm sure things were getting crazy.
That's all right, girl.
And you're right. And so you're still able to kind of hey, this is what's going on, Sam, very firmly. This is why this needs to happen. He's moving. It's yep. working. Yep. Fight through it. Two more. Whatever yep. it was.
Yep. yep.
And that, for me, was very helpful. Because yeah. I still need, like, a goal. Like, mm-hmm. hey, two more, mm-hmm. three more, mm-hmm. whatever. Until he gets, so that I can say mentally, this is painful, but it's going to yeah. stop.
And it worked. He yeah. moved. Got where he needed to be. Uh-huh. Got to a 10. I mean, literally right after we did those three contractions.
It worked very well.
Worked very well. And now here he comes.
Yeah. And so then I pushed. I don't know. I have found, like, in all three of my children, my mental understanding of how long I pushed and the reality of how long I pushed are always different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I pushed, you know, X amount of minutes. With Malachi, I thought I pushed shorter. And you guys later told me, like, no, you pushed for, I don't know how long it was, I think like an hour or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, which is very typical for a first-time mom. It takes a little bit of time when you first start pushing to find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I talk about that in my book. Because once you find the sweet spot and you're actually pushing in the right place, it does not take very long. But for first-time moms, it does take a little bit of time. And think about it. Sam just went through quite a bit of
so
labor
tired.
And trauma. She's so exhausted. So really, for probably 15 or 20 minutes, you might be going, eh.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Because that's all the energy you have.
Yeah.
And so you got to wrap your head around this new part, this new portion of birth that's very different from labor.
You're exactly right. And if you just don't know until mm-mm. you do it, right? Mm-hmm. Experience is what you get after you need it. So I kind of thought I had pushed for a short time. Really, it had been this long time. But I remember being very fatigued and tired. Mm-hmm. It's like, you really are. You need a team even in that portion to just talk you through it and give you the mental strength. And kind of also it was helpful for me to have a team kind of telling me the progress of him. Because I was nearing my.
Oh, yeah.
And so to hear, like, okay, we can see his head. Mm-hmm. Okay. This, you know, that helped me.
Yes. That push was the best push you've done. Do that again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so helpful. Cause if you can't see what's going on, and I've had three, and all of them were very different, but, I've had one completely all natural, one with an epidural at the 11th hour.
Yeah.
And one with an epidural, kind of halfway through laboring. And, anyways, with all natural, the point is I actually, that was my favorite. I would prefer all natural after all the other, I've done it all. And because you can feel the pushing section, the portion with an epidural, you can't feel anything. So when you're pushing, you're like, you don't
is
even
this
know.
Working?
Yeah. You have no idea. You can't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So, I liked being able to feel, even though it was painful, it's still at that point, your body is kind of like adrenalized, whatnot. So the pain subsides.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about the ring of fire. I did not feel that.
I know. I would never describe it that way either.
I didn't feel that. I think that you guys did a good job of like putting pressure there and helping. I had someone film a portion. I don't think you're allowed to do that, but I did. And so I was able to see later like that they were really helping get his head out.
Yep. And they're kind of massaging and gently stretching that perineum.
That my husband warmed up for
that
them.
Your husband had already been doing, which is awesome. It's super helpful, guys. It's so helpful to help your wives prenatally, to help stretch that perineum. No, you're not stretching them to a 10. It's the cervix that gets to a 10, not the perineum that gets to a 10. But you're helping to loosen up those ligaments and muscles and everything so that when you do get that pressure from that head pushing and stretching and all that pressure, you know how to relax through it now. That's really the point of the perineal massage. So it is extremely helpful, guys, but not super sexy. I'm sorry.
But
to
I'm glad I did it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because I didn't. It was that part wasn't so crazy. Obviously had, and like a hot compress, I think, too. So then, he came into this world and there's a photo that you've used. Maybe you still use it.
I was just about to say it is one of my favorite photos of all my clients, and it is actually on our website. The very first picture you see on our website is you with James and Malachi.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful, you guys. It is the epitome of what you feel.
Yeah.
Look on your face.
Rachel White took that photo and she's the best. And so she took that photo and just kind of caught a beautiful moment where they had handed the baby to me. Mm-hmm. I think we hadn't even cut the cord yet. Maybe. I'm not sure.
It was like right after.
And yeah, it's one of my favorite.
It is
picks.
So beautiful. It there's elation, relief, yes, exhaustion,
all the emotions,
joy, everything summed up in her face. It's just so beautiful. You guys go check it out.
Thank you for listening to My Doula Mica. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at My Doula Mica. We can also get connected at MyDoulaMica.com. If you're interested in checking out my book, the link to The Humor in Birth, Stories and Insights from a Doula can be found on all of these social platforms. Be sure to share and subscribe. I'll be here next week, so please be sure to join me again. And this podcast was produced by Rogue Media Network.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.